Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Record.
I'm so glad you hit record then and not 10 seconds ago. Right. We're here while everyone else is putting their feet up over the summer. We are here with you for another dose of rugby chatter, and we'll be talking about Super Rugby semi-finals and previewing the final. We'll be talking about the stash that is being unveiled. We'll be talking about the Olympic Sevens and picking another Sevens team based on, this time it's scrum halves, isn't it?
It is.
And much, much more. So let's get on with this. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Right, let's get into this then. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, which is me, Tim, which is JB.
Hello, Tim.
Which is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Three mates who love the game of rugby, but don't take it or the game, or ourselves, I should say, too seriously. We are powered by the finest razor that is available to shave your face with. And we can't speak highly enough about Cornerstone and the work they do and the razor they have on the market. Voted number one, better than Gillette, better than Wilkinson Sword at the GQ Awards. And for just £4, you could get your own engraved shaft. Well, you get the engraved shaft for free with an order, which you could get for as little as just £4 because you get a £10 discount with us. You won't be disappointed, will they, boys? I mean, you're looking freshly Cornerstoned right now, Phil.
I am. Thank you, Tim.
Very nice day, Phil.
Are you going to Cornerstone on your wedding day?
I quite like a bit of trendy stubble.
Your Cornerstone 2 days before your wedding day.
Yeah, a Cornerstone. 36 hours before to give me the perfect stubble length.
Oh.
Although with Cornerstone, I probably only have like barely visible 5 o'clock shadow 36 hours later.
Exactly right, because it's so sharp.
So there you go. Just £4 and you can get on board. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkout.
Right. We've had some brilliant iTunes reviews and thank you for this. This one from Alex Babbler says, the Egg Chasers podcast, as awesome as a Haskell Farrell bromance. T. Fran Propsalot says, it's 5 stars, and the headline for the review is That Tinder Girl. Says, listen to last week's podcast if you don't understand. He says, it's not often you're approached by a blonde stunner on Tinder, let alone when you're a prop down on his luck. But after a particularly rough outing, I was approached by the delightful Jada Beardmore, who shares my love of rugby and put me onto the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. With luck, soon I'll be sharing my shaft with Jada if I can last a full 80 minutes. High end cast. And I'm delighted to say I'm now out and proud as a member of the LTBP community.
That's right. And we're growing all the time.
Yeah.
We're going to have our own street in Manchester soon.
Let the boys play community. That is what we all are collectively. And again, thanks again to Complete Toffee, who I feel like we should be paying for his Photoshop work. Just keep an eye on our Twitter account, at Rugby Podcast, and you'll see some outstanding...
Photoshopping? Is that how he does it? I don't know how he does it. Magic, I guess.
Magic, yeah. It is. So thank you very much. Leave your review on iTunes. That's all we ask. Where shall we start then? We've got so much to talk about. There's loads of signings have kicked into gear. The kits are being released all the time. Super Rugby. Well, we should start there, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
The semi-finals. Your man, Van Rensburg.
He's a hell of a player, isn't he? He's some player.
Yeah.
Actually, he wasn't that prevalent in this game. He was good.
Except for that try where his quad strength. Oh, my God, his quads are so good.
Yeah, he's quite impressive, isn't he? Elton Yanchis is very impressive. Cronbrick is very impressive. The inside sense.
I like Faff as well. For all the stick, Faff played well. I really like
him. They all played well. I mean, they're just a really good, complete team.
Jack O'Creel was absolutely sensational.
Was that the six?
Yeah. He's an open side, but yeah.
Good. Scored, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
Scored a try. try-saving tackle
was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because Forges is meant to be the fastest player in Super Rugby.
He's fast.
Yeah, everyone says like, either faster in New Zealand or faster, you know, he's very quick is the point I'm trying to make.
He's an outside centre being kind of chased out or try-saving tackle from a
So let me back up a minute. So we have a Super Rugby final, which is going to be in Wellington, and it's going to be contested between Phil's beloved Canes.
My Canes.
And the Lions.
And my beloved Lions now.
Yes, it is. It's almost like man on man, this game.
It's, I mean, I've only seen the Lions for three games, but just an enormous amount of respect for how they play. They blend that South African dominance at set piece. No, the traditional South African dominance at set piece, because let's face it, they've not been their old selves of late.
Yeah.
They do that, and yet they seem to build in almost a New Zealand style of offloading play. And if you look at all the New Zealand teams, they're sort of similar. Like, you know what you get. Mm. It's offloading around the tackle area. It's very continuous, high skills, blah, 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 blah. But actually, it's all very, very samey. The Lions, I think, have got the antidote to New Zealand's dominance. And hopefully, South Africa are going to pick up on that and spank them in not only the Super Rugby final, but also the Rugby Championship.
Mm. Oh, I think that's a big ask.
Well, why not? I mean, they know what to do. They've got the players.
One observation about both these semi-finals, and we can talk about both of them, was that the average age of both, or of all four sides, really, but I was particularly watching the New Zealand one, the Highlanders against...
The Canes Chiefs.
And there was only, I think in the Canes team starting lineup, there was only two players over the age of 30, and there was only like five players over the age of 25.
Is that right?
It's unreal. Like, especially to have forward packs full of young guys in their early 20s. It's pretty frightening. And Ardy Surveyor, oh my God.
Yeah, Ardy Surveyor's class, isn't he?
Do you think that Super Rugby operates the same principle as, say, the British Forestry Commission? Which is get rid of all of your older dead trees early doors and let all the little saplings grow quickly.
Well, yeah, much the way you used to talk about the Pro 12, and you probably still do, where you say it's quite good that all the players go across to France because it helps the young players come through. There's an element of that. They're sort of like, go on, have a couple of years in France, and Toulon Bougelad can babysit our talent that we know what we've got, and meanwhile we can use our money to bring through the next breed.
Yeah, Comrade Smith's a great example, a wonderful player, one of the best centres of a generation.
Yeah,
what would be the cost of keeping him in New Zealand? Well, a lot of money to start with.
Yeah.
And also, what about the cost of bringing the new players through? This is exactly how the Pro 12 should operate, which is embrace getting rid of the good players and bring in more good players.
The problem being that what we talked about last week with the television rights and stuff is that it will just make the Pro 12 a depreciating asset, if you like, get less and less valuable.
If they play rugby like the Canes and the Lions do, I'd watch that.
Well, but Canes, those semi-finals were watched by literally
tens of people.
Yeah.
It is a shame how little traction Super Rugby seems to get this year.
Canes did at least have a 60% full stadium, I would say.
Yeah, you know, obviously it's some of the best rugby in the world, but if you've got five teams in a country the size of the Isle of Man, you're going to struggle to fill up stadiums. And I think that's basically what's happened. And as for South Africa, the country's a mess and is getting worse by the day.
I've got to say, stars of the weekend for me, you mentioned Elton Jantjies, but the other 10 that's going to be opposite in Beauden Barrett. Yeah. Oh my word.
Well, it was two man in the match performances from the 10s.
Yeah.
Both scored tries. Beauden Barrett scored 15 points, Jantjies scored 22 points, and both looked absolutely class all round as well. And it's important because they're not only a threat with ball in hand, they've got a good distributing game, but they also keep people on their toes because of their kicking game. Like the Jantjies cross-field kick for the try and the Beauden Barrett little chip over the top for the first try.
Ooh, to
for
himself.
The Halaholo. Yeah, to himself, which he collected. Rounds Damian McKenzie. Sam
and
McNichol
then an amazing
just
offload off
him.
The deck in the tackle as he's hitting the deck.
To Halaholo. Oh, do you know where
he's
Halaholo,
looking so good.
Do you know where he's set to go next season?
No idea.
Cardiff Blues.
What?
Wow.
And he's based on his performances.
He's
got to
be in the
you'd be saying,
well, who is the
you'd
Hurricanes he'd be pushing kid going to London Irish? Someone Marshall.
Oh, the fullback.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
So he's signed for London Irish next year.
Is he going to London Irish?
Yeah. Wow. Apparently, Canes have tried to buy him back, And then I just go, no, we'll keep him for the championship, thanks.
Well, Halehulu, you'd be saying, like, if you stay in New Zealand, you've got a shot at potentially pushing for the All Blacks squad.
Yeah. It's, hang on, is the book on Barrett basically that he's an excellent player but he can't kick?
Or is that... His kicking's less consistent. I think he's been used for 3-4 years by the All Blacks as kind of an impact player.
Yeah, and he makes hell of an impact.
He's a hell of an impact
player. He's crushed
player.
Wales on his own twice.
But he's got to now be really considered as the first choice 10.
Oh, I think
playing,
so, yeah.
He was playing opposite his competition, which
completely.
Is the incumbent Cruden. And Cruden, importantly, hasn't really been kicking all season because Damian McKenzie, who is kind of a 10 but has been playing fullback, young, very young, prodigiously talented player, has been kicking sticks all season.
Well, I had a little think about this, and for all the talk about great flowing passing rugby with skills and all the rest of it, the Lions game, that felt to me like a beatdown against the Highlanders. Do we agree?
It was domination, yeah. It was domination.
Well,
but there was still loads of offloading, loads of running from inside your own 22.
But do you want to know something quite interesting? It was 5 tries to 4.
But 2 of those tries were scored in the last 5 minutes. By the Highlanders.
But
yes.
It
was 42-16.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is those missed kicks made the scoreline look a lot bigger than it actually was.
Right.
Because I think Yanchi's got almost all of his kicks, whereas Sopawanga, or however you say his name, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, well.
Sopawanga got 2 out of 4 conversions. Yanchi's got 4 out of 5.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of kicking, the Chiefs' Damian McKenzie, Owen Farrell does his scan.
The Joker. He's got.
Yeah, when Damian McKenzie looks up at the post, he does that really menacing
it's
grin.
Creepy.
Really creepy. But Bowden Barrett, let's go back to him. I don't think there's a more kind of influential sort of player, particularly in Super Rugby, where, like, much like Dan Carter in his prime, you take him out of a team he's in and the team just drops off a cliff. I think the same happens with Bowden
Interesting
Barrett.
To say that, Tim, because the Crusaders didn't drop off a cliff. In fact, Crusaders got a pretty solid record of not having Dan Carter.
All right.
No, that is true, but they're a lesser team.
Yeah.
They are definitely a lesser team.
Massively drops off more than just the influence of one player. It, like, has a much bigger, greater influence overall. And so I hold him in really high regard. I think he should be the Kiwi 10, All Black 10.
I think so, yeah.
And he needs to sort out his 80s haircut, though. He looks like someone who's in the... I don't know, it's just sort of all one length. He looks like he should be in the Cobra Kai fighting Daniel
LaRusso. I quite like it. I think he's a bit of a trendsetter. Because there's so many stupid haircuts in all of New Zealand, like whether it be mohawks or, you know, half haircuts or whatever it is. Not only should you do that, with this All Blacks blazer, I want him to wear shoulder pads.
I imagine hearing Bowden Barrett say this if they win next week.
Just in terms of the talent available to New Zealand at 10, so the incumbent Cruden, because he's not been kicking sticks all season, isn't in the top point scorers in Super Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
The top point scorers in order: Bowden Barrett in first, Damian McKenzie in second,
yep.
Richie Mwunga, Crusaders,
mm-hmm.
in third, Lima Sapuanga in fourth. So their 4 tens are the top 4 highest point scoring, followed only then by Elton Yantis in fifth place. So you've got, well, New Zealand have got effectively 5 fly halves who are... And what's noticeable about these guys, not only do they kick penalties and conversions, they all score tries as well.
Mm.
Bowden Barrett scored 8 tries this season, Damian McKenzie 10 tries, Mwunga and Sapuanga 5 and 4, respectively.
Well, moving over to sort of talent in the... In for the Lions, and your man that you were talking about last week. I'm going to talk about Van Rensburg. I love his quads.
I'm a big
fan of some
quads. Do you know who... I might say this last week. He reminds me of the old Irish centre, Henderson, in his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big barrel chest, big legs.
Low centre of gravity.
Runs over people for fun.
Yeah.
Knocks on a lot.
Knocks.
He does knock on a lot. So that's it.
You gave Faf a bit of stick last week. I love that.
No, no,
I love that kid.
It's one of those things. It's like missing tackles because you've attempted so many of them. It's not really a criticism. It's just saying that he shouldn't knock the ball on so much. And if you're going to be consistent, he needs to have at least one yellow card for knocking on 3 balls in 10 minutes.
Last week was a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. He just flies out the line, paws at the ball, knocks it down.
Yeah, palm down as well.
Quite blatantly.
I think Corey Jane got yellow carded
got
for that.
Yellow carded for that. Like after Surveyor had just come on for Corey Jane. I wondered whether it was the coaches going. Oh, if they look at a replay of that, they might yellow card him. Quick, get him off, get him off.
Oh, did they get him off before they?
No, because
not officially.
Surveyor was like stripped and ready, like
running down the touchline to
come on, and ref shows a yellow card to Corey Jane for
so
this.
Corey Jane and Surveyor trotted back.
Oh dear.
One thing I think is going to really bug us, potentially, well, maybe more so JB and myself, is watching the scrums. It was in the Lions match, and they were they were dominating the scrum near the try line.
Yep.
And it was those... So that new law that's coming in where if the ball's at the 8 feet and then the scrum collapses...
Play on.
Yep.
Which just there's going to be times when a scrum, like Leicester Tigers, I think, I can see them getting really wound up by this because we talked last week about how much they've invested in their front rows and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you can just stop, a pushover try by once the ball
by pulling it down.
Collapsing.
The problem with that is if you do pull it down, then it can be still given as a penalty, can't it?
Yeah, it is.
If it's a deliberate collapse.
You'd take your chances on that, wouldn't you?
I think if you're going
If you were going to get pushed over, you'd take your chances on, oh, well, we'll get 3 points against, or they won't score.
Well, I would give a penalty try, personally. Yeah. If you're going backwards, I'd give
penalty. Well, no, but that's just what I mean. Before it goes backwards, if the ball gets to 8 feet quickly, that's what happened in the Lions match. I keep forgetting which team, the Chiefs, wasn't it?
No,
Highlanders. Sorry, jeez. The Highlanders just dropped it.
It does need forward, and it drops penalty attacking team. If you're going forward and you drop it, balls at your 8 feet, play on.
Yeah, if it's a slip or anything like that, play on. I think it's a good point though, because the refs need to be very strict and very consistent. If it's near the try line and a team is cynically dropping it, just give a penalty try.
Yeah, Australia used to do this all the time, which was get the balls at the 8 feet, quick strike, collapse it, and then you can't push it. But I think they'll work their way around it.
Yeah, it will be interesting because it could be exploited potentially.
How do you see the final then? We've talked about the 10 matchups. I think the Lions pack. I could have a big say on this, but the home advantage.
I think Lions will win. I think the Lions will win, and it'll be a high scoring game. The reason I think the Lions will win is going forward, both teams are very potent. But I think defensively, Lions look very... I don't know. I mean, they do concede points, but they just seem to work very, very hard.
Yeah.
Well, the Hurricanes are yet to concede a try and knock out Rugby.
And that's a good point. But on the other hand, the Lions have beaten, two of the best New Zealand teams who all play similar rugby.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think it'll be close. I think home advantage is key. Like you saw the Chiefs who went across the pond over to South Africa and came back. Now, they in that game against the Hurricanes, they had huge amounts of territory in possession.
Yeah,
but they looked like they weren't quite sharp. They weren't razor sharp.
Guaranteed tries over the line.
They dropped.
I think you boys have both missed the key matchup, actually. Not to be too condescending to you, but on the one hand, the Hurricanes take off all their tape and put it in the bin. But last week, the Lions cleaned up all of their pitch side area. I mean, the question has to be asked, when will this stop? I mean, will they mow the grass after playing? Maybe
get them out there with a fork and just... Yeah. The front rows have to go around with a fork and flatten the...
We're going to have some ridiculous arms race when it's like, who can do the most stadium maintenance in the space of 80 minutes?
They'll be serving pies and pints before the game.
Oh,
during the game.
I mean... Yeah. If you're a substitute, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing these things.
Exactly. My biggest concern of that is, there'll be hundreds of people losing their jobs. Groundsmen,
yeah, you're right.
Bar staff.
Yeah.
In fact, this is
cleaners.
Just money saving dressed up as culture.
Well, no, exactly. There's actually something more serious going on here. I mean, if you're a minimum wage worker and you found your calling in life to sweep stairs, then all of a sudden some super motivated mega athlete comes about. He can sweep so many more stairs than you, and because he's doing it for the good of the culture, he's not even getting paid.
Yeah.
You, not only you, you and four of your mates are done.
Yeah,
it's over.
It's driving down wages. I mean, it's a bigger controversy than should we stay in or have left the European Union.
Yeah,
it needs to be sorted. There's one lovely story came out. Elton Jantjies, you see his post-match press conference.
I saw him not really saying much. But
with the South African broadcaster, he was choked up. Because you know about his dad, what was it, 18 months ago? Or
no idea.
A couple of years ago, his dad died from a bee sting.
What?
A
bee sting?
Yeah. Sorry. No, not a bee sting. Oh, God. No. He wasn't battered.
An extreme fitness session. No.
Oh, God, no. A bee sting killed his dad, tragically. But so he was really choked up and emotional because he's sort of been very open about talking about how big an influence his dad had. So this battle of these two tens, Beauden Barrett wanting that tens shirt for New Zealand and Elton Jantjies with this amazing story and backdrop. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to come down to those two tens.
I simply don't know. It's going to be a fascinating game. I've got a question for you. Post game, they're going to be immediately turning their attention to the Rugby Championship. I've looked at the Lions squad. Every one of them is South African. Why do you not just pick a South Africa team out of the Lions?
With a few others.
No, nope, just the Lions. Just simply from the Lions.
It's interesting that... Again, it was about football, so I won't go on about it. But there was a bunch of people over at a friend's house last night, and a couple of them were talking about England and whatnot. And they said they would, and they said it completely straight face. They said they'd pick an England team out of the Championship because they'd want it more. They'd work hard.
I've said this before. Well, they don't really care much, do they? I mean, the England team is basically the Premier League team for people who don't have a Premier League team.
Mm. So I know what you're saying. Actually, like, just transfer that obvious ethos and
with the big difference that the Lions are genuinely really good.
They are, really
and
good.
Everybody else is really bad.
It'd be difficult to drop your captain, Adrian Strauss, who is the incumbent South African captain.
Just throw Malcolm Marks.
Drop Etzebeth and
drop them all. Drop them all until they start winning.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Do it, Jay, when you're in charge.
Prediction then, final. I'm going Phil's beloved Canes.
Beloved. So beloved.
JB, you're going Lions?
I'm going Lions, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're gonna have some bacon sandwiches, watch that game, and then pod straight afterwards next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let me jump to some of the headlines that have been making the news this week and some of the transfers and stuff. So there's a lot more talk going from South Africa to a South African, one of the best players they've got, Willie LaRue. Again, apparently that move to Wasps is going ahead. It's been reported this morning, as he's not in the plans for South Africa for the Rugby Championship.
Is that right? Well, wow. I know this is right.
Bath are also interested in trying to steal a march on it.
I know this is right because I text the FIS and he says it's an exceptional source and it's done.
Yeah. What, to Wasps?
To Wasps.
To
or
Wasps.
To Bath.
Yeah. To Wasps.
So again, what the hell is Wasps' backline going to be? So it's going to be LaRue at fullback, Beale at 12, and Eastmond is just like a squad member.
I'd love to know how long Eastmond's deal is. If it's a one-year deal.
One-year deal.
Is it?
Well, no, I don't actually know.
Is there any chance they see more in Eastmond as a potential utility back that you can play in several positions?
Not really, because he's never really done that. I mean, he's been a solid 12. I think what Wasps are looking for is the flakiest, smallest backline that they can get, really. Because that's where they're going. There's no heft. And by the way, if you are Bath now, there's only one name that you go after. Rohan Janzi von Rensburg for that 12 shirt. That's it. Your search starts there, finishes there, and you pay him whatever he wants.
Well, they've been linked again to Maxime Mermoz, who has got another year to run on his Toulon deal.
40% of his pay.
At 40% of his pay?
Apparently. That's where he wants to go.
And Boujalad has turned down the opportunity for him to go. I think Bordeaux, Bagel were wanting him, but he said he's not letting him go to another top 14 club. But the word is that he is going to be allowed to be released from his contract if he goes abroad. So Maxime Mermoz probably is going to be wearing that 12 shirt for Bath. Just one thing, journalists, right, stop using the phrase cunning plan in relation to Todd Blackadder. That's all that anyone's done this week. They've gone,
yes,
Bath have cunning plan to bring Mermoz.
I honestly didn't
Blackadder's put cunning plan.
Two and two together, but now I do.
I like it.
Yeah, there's been so many times.
Who looks better with grey hair? Blackadder or Tom May?
Ooh.
Blackadder looks damn good.
He does look good.
Because it's consistent too.
Yeah. A couple of other headlines. Jared Hayne to Toulon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is this true?
Yes. It looks like it's going to happen. It hasn't been confirmed, but it's the strong rumours that saying he's going to go to Toulon. Obviously, he's going to come out and say now, it's always been my dream to play for Toulon. Like you said, it's always been my dream to play
NFL.
Always been my dream to play for Fiji. Always been my dream to play Super Rugby.
Yeah. Did either of you read the statement from the Waratahs? Because the Waratahs were looking at him. He was basically offered his services to the Waratahs.
Yeah.
And they said, we think that with 10 current Wallabies plus Israel Folau, we've got enough star power in our team and we don't need...
plus Israel Folau?
Well, 10 current Wallabies including Israel Folau.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
They're
sense.
Referring to the Wallabies as a whole, and then Israel Folau is a separate star power. Yeah,
it's like having 12 Wallaby internationals and a British and Irish Lion.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
He's like a Wallaby plus, isn't he?
Well, it's weird because the coffee chat that they had, Teo and whoever it was, the bigwigs of Waratahs, was a private coffee chat until a journalist showed up and started snapping. So the conspiracy theories among us mates might say he did that in order to get a bigger offer from another suitor.
Ah. Well, he did say it was always been his dream to play Super Rugby, so... maybe
is that right?
He's got a lot of dreams.
Yeah.
It's always been his dream to go and play 86 games a year in the top 14.
Right, let me rattle through some other stories then.
Yeah,
so, Sale, having signed Josh Charnley from Wigan, are thought to be after Ryan Hall, the giant winger from Leeds.
Oh, no.
I think that can't happen.
They've
signed Byron McGuigan, obviously, the fullback.
Fullback from Exeter.
From Exeter Chiefs.
Now, let me just revisit Ryan Hall a second. By all accounts, very nice guy, very good for Leeds Rhinos, and all of Leeds Rhinos are trying their hardest to get out of Leeds Rhinos. So expect a lot of Leeds Rhinos guys to go to the Premiership or the Championship. There's going to be loads of movement there. Ryan Hall is an out-and-out league winger.
Yes.
He would not cut it in the Premiership, not even close.
It would be like Leslie Vinicolo.
He's nowhere near as good as Leslie Vinicolo for Union.
Well, he's very, very similar in terms of Leslie Vinicolo in league.
I don't know.
He's just a big direct runner who gets the ball 10 yards out and will hit it at pace and finish and won't do much else other than that. He'll make some hard yards in midfield and he'll crash over the tries in the corner.
I think if they sign him, it's a terrible, terrible signing. So don't do it, Sale.
Mm. Minty, Nick Evans. Nick Easter retired, obviously, but Naupu is moving to him at the number 8, former Connacht number 8, going to Quinns.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is quite a big deal for Harlequins. I was chatting to Joe Marler on the Rugby Dungeon this week, and basically he said that last year Harlequins didn't really care about defence. In fact, it was more about winning the Harlequins way than it was bothering showing up about defence. So it'll be very interesting to see if he can do anything with it. Because he's come back. Well, I think he's been coaching Wimbledon.
He was. Easter was. Well, the Easter thing, I mean, it's not entirely surprising because he's 37 and he's very good career and he's slowing down a little bit and all that. But we had a message on Facebook from Matthewman. Strange name.
Brilliant name.
Matthewman. Who's as a Quinns fan. And he said he's very annoyed because of the timing of it. So you're partway through pre-season. There's other Premiership teams who, earlier on in this year, this calendar year, made huge number 8 signings, like Faletau, like Pickermoles, who, if Harlequins had known, presumably they would have had the budget and the capability to have attracted one of those two stars.
Do you not think it might have been a case that they kind of were like, oh, just don't say it yet. Well, can you do it? Maybe not.
I don't think it is that at all because Nick Easter was due to coach. Well,
yeah.
Like since the end of the season, I've always known that he's going to be a Harlequins coach.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just hung up his boots in pre-season.
Right.
They just haven't announced it.
And it's the succession planning because we watched a bit of Connacht last season and it was always Muldoon, John Muldoon at 8. So I can't remember seeing this guy. So he wasn't Connacht's first choice number 8. So it's not like they've got ex-England international, ex-club stalwart who's brilliant and replace him like for like, you've got almost.
I don't think it's any reason to worry. They've got Rob Shaw, they've got Clifford, who will play eight, and they've got, I want to say Hopper. Wallace. Yeah, Wallace and Hopper, sorry. Wallace, so there's a pretty nice back three. Clifford's played eight for England. Don't worry about it.
Maybe it is because
they've probably got a phalanx of young kids ready to come through as well.
Yeah, maybe it is because they really highly rate Clifford.
One young back row player that's attracting a lot of attention, bearing in mind how few out-and-out sevens there are that are English. Leicester's under-20s, England under-20 open side flanker, Will Evans, is wanted by Bath, by Northampton, and by other teams. There's other teams linked, and they're all basically just waiting. So obviously Leicester are trying to tie up that deal, but
never heard
of
him.
He played very well for the under-20s in the World Cup.
Yeah,
and he looks like a proper seven. So be interesting to see if he makes a breakthrough in the Premiership this season. USA, following on from last week, USA Rugby official have gone and said, yeah, we'd be interested in having a Pro 12 team on the East Coast. Mm. So Boston or New York.
Yeah, this makes no sense to me. I don't. The more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
TV deals.
Yeah. But I know I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Why not a team in Germany? Why? It makes so much more sense. You've got a bigger playing pool. But the TV deal in Germany would be substantial. You've got like 80 million people who are very wealthy.
If anyone's interested.
They don't have a direct competitor. There's no NFL. There's no rugby league. There's no nothing.
No, they do winter sports and handball and stuff like that. Hmm. European League handball and ice hockey and that kind of stuff. Like, they're big in. You go to Scandinavia and you go to Germany and Russia.
Did Germany
do
ice hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Another story. Dean Ryan, head of international player development. We now know what Big Dean is up to.
The public sector. Well done, Dean. Yeah. Well done for giving up on rugby.
He's like a policeman out of a movie who's now, you know, he's not in a partner going out as a detective anymore. He's got an office job. He's got a desk.
Behind a desk.
Handing in his gun and badge. Yeah. He's got a Ryan, desk job.
Ryan, you'll be doing traffic. Right, so what we're going to expect from Dean Ryan is lots of stuff about how he's assembled the most talented kids in the country, and lo and behold, they're very good at rugby. And he'll have done nothing towards it other than got them into a group and made them play touch for a little while. It's a pointless job, pointless role. They shouldn't be doing it.
What do you really think, though, Jay? all right, OK, cool. So we've still got to talk about Stash Watch. We've still got to talk about our two teams. I just want to ask you this one question, though, because you've seen all the, and I haven't prepped you or told you that I'm going to ask you this. I just want to see what you think. You've seen Haskell on Instagram and on Twitter and everything, all the videos he's doing with Owen Farrell.
Best mates.
Joking around about their best mates. If you could have a rugby player as a best mate, who would you go with? Haskell's already taken by Owen Farrell, so you can't have Hask. Although I think for me, he'd be way down the list because like, you'd have a camera in your face every couple of minutes. That would just get annoying, wouldn't it?
Oh, I know. I know who I'd want to be my best mate.
Yeah, who?
Jack Berger. Go hunting and fishing every week. Watch some rugby.
Yeah.
He'd come around for barbecue.
Oh, that's a good shout. I was thinking Matt Dunning before he lost the 40 kg. He'd be really good. But no, I thought David Pocock. Because he's the sort of guy, right? If you want a best mate, okay, someone really dependable.
No! David Pocock's a terrible idea.
No, you can imagine him.
Coming into your house and looking at your TV, that's unsustainable plastic. No. sitting on your chair. Oh, real leather.
If you're moving house,
sneering at you.
If you're moving house, Pocock would do. You can imagine doing that. If you had to be out of town, right, and your wife and your daughter JB, or your wife to be Phil were kind of lonely, and you wanted someone, a best mate that you knew would check in and check they're all right, but not do anything dodgy.
How do you know this?
Pocock would. He's too nice.
All of this liberal social justice stuff which he's into is exactly for that reason. It's kind of virtue signalling to get women. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm no threat. Comes around your house when you're not here. Yeah, that's exactly what Pocock would do.
Shout Brits would be another good one.
Tell you what, David Flatman, one of the nicest guys that I've spoken to, and seems to have best mates around Bath. So he seems to have more room for at least one or two more.
Yeah, and I've worked with the guy, and he's
awesome.
He's a thoroughly nice, thigh-slapping good chap.
And he cooks a lot of meat.
Yeah, he rears pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was...
I can't believe we're with Pocock. That's an awful idea.
Yeah, I'm not so keen on Pocock.
He just lectures you all day.
I'd either go for...
He's too good a wingman as well. You'd look like the... The sort of reject stood next to him if you're out on a bar.
It'd be like the box set version of a twin.
Philip.
Well, I'd quite like Tommy Bow, but for the point you just made, I don't really want to be standing...
Church every Sunday?
I don't really want to be standing in a bar next to Tommy Bow. I don't want to be Danny DeVito in that twins analogy. I'd love to hang out a bit more with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's
ace, very, very good. I'd like to go out on the piss with Tom Brady.
Yep.
Very good fun lad.
In fact, most NFL lads are, to be fair.
Most rugby lads are good lads.
Telling you, a lot of good banter. Jonathan Mills.
Millsy.
Mm. Yeah, when I used to do the announcing at Sale, I'd stand right near the dugout and he was always chopsy and he always had some funny comments to make. Someone who had some good banter this week was Brian O'Driscoll. So Connor Murray tweeted out, because there's a new Munster shirt that we talked about, which wasn't, I don't like it.
It's average, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
C-.
Anyway, Connor Murray tweeted out saying, "Tell us your favourite Munster rugby moment to win a new away Munster jersey signed by Nick.
I can only imagine where this is going."
Brian O'Driscoll tweeted and said, "Croke Park 09. Which was when Leinster, if you don't remember, when Leinster beat Munster in the Heineken Cup semi-final.
He was asking for
by a large margin. And then every Munster fan who sort of replied with some sort of quip back, Brian O'Driscoll just replied with 3 stars, which refers to the 3 stars on the Leinster jersey versus Munster's 2 to signify the number of cups they've won. So that was quite a good chat this week from Bod.
Good lad, Bod.
Right.
Do you want to mention a couple of other shirts?
We've seen a new Leicester Tigers home and away jersey. We've seen a new Northampton home and away jersey and a new Worcester home and away jersey. Let's talk about the good. Leicester Tigers
home.
Return to form. I'm going to applaud
very,
as well.
Very
well
nice.
Done.
Bravo.
After that
Bravo.
Fiasco last year, I thought Cougar were incapable of making a proper
They're incompetent. They were just simply incompetent.
But they've proved both of us wrong and it's lovely.
I don't know how one company can have such a big... How can it be such a big transition? A big contrast? It was just the worst kits, maybe. That and Wasps kit this year are the two worst kits I think I've ever seen. Ever.
That Gloucester kit is god-awful.
The one with the stripes downwards, the black and red.
Yeah, there's that one. There's,
yeah, but that's a European kit. So
but
you
just
you...
the, no, just yeah. their home. Their standard red home one is awful.
Standard red home one? What, for this year?
It was announced last year. I've not seen a change, so I assume it's the same one.
I think they've got the one with the enormous Mitsubishi.
Well, the problem with Mitsubishi is they don't change their colours of their logo, and the colours of the logo happen to be the colours of everything. So it's always a white background, it's always the red thing, and it's always dark writing.
Mm. And it's also the one that doesn't fit anyone. There you go. That's it. That one there.
Oh, it's horrendous. Yeah, but that isn't... That's an academy kit. That's the academy and European kit.
That's right, that's the academy kit. There's like that. That's
or,
what...
Rather or than, that one, or any of those.
Rather than Wasps having an amazing academy kit, we were saying that works as a motivation
to make you
want to get out of the academy.
I'm not wearing that. I'm not wearing it. We'll play better.
By the way, I'm still angry about Wasps.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It looks like freshly painted tarmac is my new description of what
it's
that
just
was.
Horrendous,
like.
Isn't it? It's just horrendous. It's really simple. If you are a club with a rich and storied history, go on the internet and see what you're wearing 20 to 30 years ago. Worcester Should we talk about
That's what Leicester did, by the way. And by the way, I think that one part, the shirt's great, but one part that's changed this year, which I think makes a massive difference, white shorts. Looks so much better than the dark green shorts.
Oh, I don't know.
It does. The white shorts look better. But I'm for the reason you said, where you go, look at what they used to wear. It looks right.
Yeah, I don't mind if they go a solid block colour. It's when they just go, when they just lose their minds and do something crazy. So Leicester, excellent.
Oh, Leicester away, terrible.
I've not seen it.
Yeah, baby sick greeny yellow.
Yeah, don't like it.
Yeah, do you know what?
But they've sorted out the home kit, so fine.
Yeah.
As long as your home kit's okay. I mean, they should do a home kit and they should do a white kit and that's it.
That's what Northampton have done, by the way. And Northampton have got rid of that grey, blue, powder blue pyjama kit that they
wear. I really hated that kit.
I hated it. And they've now got a white away jersey that's almost like an inverse of the home jersey. It looks really good.
Yeah, it was on display on Friday night in the Singer Sevens.
It's
really nice.
But it cuts out, doesn't it, halfway through? It's like a silly pattern on it.
Yeah, there's an odd pattern. It's not quite full hoops. Not quite full hoops.
I mean, it's pretty easy to do. Just full hoops and you'll be fine. I'd like to see Northampton play in studded church shoes as well. That's the other thing which I'm quite confident might happen in the next few
months.
Well,
let's talk about Worcester then, as you wanted. Worcester, it's like, again, an average home kit, a dreadful away kit.
The home kit, when you consider it's Under Armour and some of the abhorrent things that they've done in the past.
Like Wales, like Wasps,
like the Claremont green and blue camouflage. Why would you need green and blue camouflage?
Yeah, unless you were going to hide in a ball pit.
Well, I guess if you're going to hide in Claremont's ground, maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway.
So the home kit is a solid...
Yeah,
C plus. Would you say?
Maybe B minus. Yeah,
It's not a bad kit at all.
It's not
actually.
Bad. Yeah,
it's a little bright.
It's not great. It's not bad.
It's not offensive.
Yeah. I'll tell you what they need to sort out though, is Anglo-Saxon warrior charging towards you. That's obviously a recent thing dreamt up by a department somewhere, some marketing department.
Oh, in a focus group marketing room. Yeah.
Now they used to have the badge with multiple scrotums on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're scrotums, is that right?
I'm pretty sure they're scrotums, yeah.
That is much better. So a shield, and I think actually it's Pears because it's Perrier.
And it's to do with the scrotum that the name Six Ways...
exactly, yeah. Exactly right.
Okay.
But bring back the shield and the Pears. There you go. Bring back traditional club badges. We're getting there slowly. I feel we're making an impact.
I think we are making a little impact. Can I also say the one downside with Leicester Tigers home jersey is not an embroidered badge. I do like a proper embroidered badge.
Rather is it like
just
ironed
part
on?
Of the print? No, it's just part of the fabric. It's within the fabric.
Yeah, I like a stitched on badge too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or do you know what? The England one is quite good.
It's like a 3D.
That is nice. It's really nice detail, that, actually.
Yeah, detailing's important, but make it classy.
Yeah, I agree.
Then the Worcester Warriors away kit. I've seen a couple of mock-ups. It's like yellow with kind of scales. I guess it's supposed to be chainmail. But there's a couple of mock-ups. One to make it look like a pineapple. And one...
The mermaid one is exceptional.
Yeah, Complete Toffee on Twitter... He's done a Worcester Warriors Finding Teo Merman Mermaid kit.
That's amazing.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, I've said this before. I mean, if you want to wear chainmail, I've got nothing against you doing that, but it has to be genuine.
Yeah.
The genuine stuff. You've got to actually wear chainmail.
Metal chainmail.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the RPA would have something to say about that.
Well, I've got a quick quiz, this is very quick. Let's do it on Stitch Watch.
Let's do it.
So I have got some shirt sponsors. And you have to guess the team from the shirt sponsor.
Okay.
So we could just do one at a time, and if you write
Let's just call it out.
Should we just shout it out? Do you want to shout out?
First one to shout out the answer?
Yeah, should we go for that?
Okay, cool. So the first one is in from Super Rugby.
Oh, no.
St. George.
Reds.
Correct, Philip. I don't know what St. George is or do, or is it
Dragon Slayers, mate. If you've got like an infestation of dragons in your attic, something like that, you get them around.
I don't know.
All right, 1-0 to Phil, and we'll stay in Super Rugby. DHL.
Stormers.
Correct. 2-0. And the final one from Super Rugby, NIB.
Waratahs? No, NIB Stadium.
You can't answer anymore.
Damn it.
Philip, you have one guess.
NIB. Blues?
It is the Blues.
Yes!
This guy's got his streak to a 3-0 win. at the moment.
Oh dear.
Right, let's move to the top 14.
Ooh, this will be tough.
Okay, Peugeot.
Toulouse.
Correct.
Oh, good.
Jordan Beardmore, 3-1. Okay. Mutuel de Soleil.
Who?
Mutuel de Soleil.
I thought it was Marcel Desailly.
Bordeaux.
Incorrect.
Get off your phone, Phil. I'm going to say it's Racing.
It is not Racing. It is Toulon.
Is it?
Oh, wow.
That was Volkswagen.
Yeah, it used to be Volkswagen, didn't it?
Unless I've got that wrong.
I think that was a few years ago.
And a final one, so it's 3-1 still to Phil. And final one from the top 14, Natixis.
Who?
Natixis.
That is Racing.
It is Racing. Well done.
It's 3-2.
Right,
JB coming back.
It's exposing some weaknesses and strengths in your rugby watching. Right, so now we come to the United Kingdom and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So the UK and Ireland all together. Mazda.
Connacht.
Correct. 3-3. Okay. Fairstone.
I'm going to say Munster.
No, it's not Munster.
That's Bank of Ireland.
Is it? I wouldn't have got that either.
I think them and Leinster are Bank of Ireland.
Fairstone is going to... Fast. This is so difficult. This is Celtic League, yeah?
No, it's United Kingdom and Ireland.
For God's sakes.
Could be the Aviva Premiership or the Pro 12. Need an answer, need to push for
come
answer.
On, Jay.
It's 3-4 minutes, so I can't give you all day. Come on.
I don't know.
Have a guess. Say a team.
I'm going to say then...
Come on.
Glasgow.
No, it's incorrect. It's Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's Falcons. So then, this is the decider.
Are we on three
this
all?
Is my final. Actually, no, I've got.
Yeah, we are on three all.
Yeah, three all.
Three all. Airbus Group.
Cardiff.
Damn it!
Correct, Philip Morgan.
Yes!
Winner. 4-3. Well played.
Yes.
Good work. I might do an international one of those. Oh, mind you, there's not so many teams.
Your hatred of Welsh teams, Jay, foils you once again.
Bitten by my own snake. another Dave Damashek quote.
All right, where are we at? We've got two teams to put under the microscope.
We do.
We'll move on and we'll have a look at some of our Irish, Scottish, Welsh fans are questioning whether we'll do the same thing with.
We may as well. We've got 7 weeks till kick off.
We're going to put another couple of teams under the microscope. Have a look at their ins, their outs, what we think the season holds for them, and who are we looking at this week, Philip?
So after last week's two of the most tumultuous teams in Leicester and Bath, we've got two kind of, I don't know, a bit more consistent teams in Northampton and Gloucester. So neither have lost a huge number of players. Northampton, you'd say the biggest blow is losing Foto Alii. If you obviously exclude Corby Sierra, who kind of left partway through last season. Foto Alii is a loss, but they've brought in Nick Groom from the Stormers,
mm-hmm.
who's a talented young scrum half. The rest of their losses feel fairly small. Fisher's gone to Bristol. Patrick Howard, the South African, gone to the Dragons. A couple of young lads have gone as well. The guys they brought in, so Nick Groom, they brought in Charlie Clare from Bedford Blues, Campisi Marafu, the other Marafu,
mm-hmm.
and then the big signing, one of the biggest signing probably in Premiership history.
Really?
Lewis Pickermoles.
Is big. The biggest signing in Premiership history is
one, Quadzilla.
One of them. To get a French player over in the apps, so incumbent France number 8,
yep.
playing for one of the biggest and one of the best paying clubs
yep.
in France at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? We might have to do top 5 biggest signings, because you might have a point there.
And it's
how
the
old
fact
is he?
That
32.
No, I don't think he's that old.
He's 29. It's huge. I'm sure he's not that. I'm sure he's older than that.
Even 32 is no age.
It is.
No age.
Trust me, I'm 32.
He turned 30 a few months ago.
That's an outstanding signing then. Well, is it not? Is it? It is an outstanding signing anyway. It's hard to say. They're fairly consistent, but they're not. I don't think they've got the quality to go up against Saracens.
They had the best defence in the Aviva Premiership last year. They had a better defence than Exeter and Saracens. The one thing they lacked from previous seasons, like losing Samu Manoa,
was massive.
Was absolutely massive. And Louis Picamole is going to give them that go forward and that target.
Well, yeah, but what did I mean? Manoa was a guy who came up the line and destroyed fly halves. Picamole's a very different player. So, yeah, he'll give them something, but it won't be exactly like-for-like what they got from Manoa.
No, but what they need is the attacking front football, someone to bend and break
Tamana
the line.
Harrison was performing admirably, but he was playing at eight for a lot of the season. It wasn't, balanced in that back row.
He's not as big or physical as either Manoa or Picamole.
No. So will Harrison move to six? Clark or Wood at seven?
You got Wood, Clark, Harrison.
I mean, it is a good six. Oh, we've got Gibson there as well.
Yeah.
Don't forget about him.
Yeah, a lot of strength and depth in that back row, actually. Because you got Sam Dickinson as well, who's a handy player.
Yeah,
you were right about the lack of go forward, because they weren't going forward much at all last year. And they tried everything to change it. They bought on the Irish lad, who actually wasn't that good, Hanrahan.
Yeah, JJ.
I don't really know what they do. I don't think eight is really their problem. I think it's more to do with their centres.
Well, centres, they've got options as well. You've got Burrell and PC, but then you've also got Malinder, who's coming through, and the young lad, Tom Stevenson.
It will be interesting to see where Malinder ends up, because for the England under-20s, he played 12. He played 10 for most of it.
Because Theo Brophy-Clues was injured.
Yeah.
So he started off at 12.
He has played fullback for Northampton.
Yeah. I think long term he's an inside centre.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to see him
start
to
emerge.
He reminds me a bit of Will Greenwood, kind of all round capability. In his height and weight as well, he's very similar to someone like Greenwood. He's got that rugby brain and that higher level of skills without being having unbelievable physical attributes.
Like, he's not tall as George North, isn't he? He's that.
I think he's 6'5".
He's a big lad.
He's like Will Greenwood.
Frightening.
And he's like George North is, 6'3", 6'4", but kind of square and stocky, whereas Malinder's kind of rangy.
Yeah, they should be a good team, but they should have been a good team last year too, and they weren't.
I'll tell you someone who would be interesting to see this year, who 2 seasons ago was a great signing, but then was injured most of last season. Michael Patterson.
That's a good shout.
Yes, maybe.
His performance fell off a cliff last year, didn't it?
Well, I think he was injured for a lot of it, and then he did come back towards the end, but felt like he never really got going. I think he's a very, very good player. When we saw him at Sale for a couple of seasons, he was excellent.
Oh, God, the options they've got in their pack is pretty impressive.
Well, it's the back row, isn't
it? Dylan Hartley back in as well and back in available.
Yeah, well, they're front row. Because you've got the Waller boys, you've got the two England tight ends in Brooks and Paul Hill, you've got the two hookers, Hayward and Dylan Hartley. They've got some real options. That pack is all of a sudden, if everyone's fit and firing, you've got
so
almost...
So who's a starting pack then, would you say?
Waller,
Alex Waller, and then take your pick.
Kieran Brooks or Paul Hill.
A or B.
Courtney Laws with Michael Patterson.
Or Day.
Or James Craig. The young English lad. Or even they played Sam Dickinson there a bit last year.
I'd say Day and Laws would be their number one, but anyway.
And then your back row. Pickemalls at eight, definitely.
Definite.
Tom Wood possibly at six with Tamina Harrison or Callum Clark.
Yeah.
But you can have either Harrison or Callum Clark or Gibson coming off the bench.
So they should be quite good.
Their pack is exceptional. And very importantly, every single one of those names, bar Pickamoles, is English or English qualified.
So without playing, playing particularly well, they didn't miss out by a lot last year. They had a very poor season by their standards.
Yeah.
They still didn't miss out on the playoffs by a lot, and their defence was still exceptional. If they can.
Yeah,
turn their attacking fortunes around. They're going to be pretty formidable.
Looking at their back line as well. So you've got Dixon will be the starting scrum half. Then Myler or Hanrahan. Then take your pick from Burrell and Malinder, PC and Stevenson in the centres, and a back three, three of the four from George North, Ken PC, RC Tuala, and Ben Foden, not counting Tom Collins, who looked exceptional on Friday night.
And
young Englishman James Wilson.
Oh yeah, of course. Has he got his English cap yet?
Not yet.
I suppose the question is, can they keep up with Saracens? Because that's the only. That's what everyone's going to try and do this year. Are you better than Saracens, or are you in that group of four teams below?
The real question is probably, can they get a fly half performing, or getting the team performing as a unit? And I don't think last season they did. We spoke last season about their back line, and despite all the talents, not looking like a cohesive unit. And I don't think having Myler and Hanrahan and not really knowing who was going to be starting, and two completely different types of 10 as well, I don't think that particularly helped. So if they can solve that problem, I think top four for Northampton. And
instead of who?
Saracens, Exeter, Northampton, Leicester.
What Wasps? What about Bath?
I don't think Wasps.
What, Sale?
No.
No? Okay.
Wow, I think Northampton again.
Harlequins?
I think Northampton are...
No. Too inconsistent when they lose players. Outstanding when they've got the full complement.
Yeah.
So Northampton for me, top four.
I think yes, but I just wonder how. And they're not there's not going to be as many Premiership games during international periods as well this year, which because that would affect Northampton badly.
Yeah.
It's this league is going to be absolutely brutal.
really is. Well, let's hop over to Gloucester. It's not going to be Gloucester's year, is it?
No, next year.
Next year, definitely Gloucester's year.
So who have Gloucester brought in?
They brought in Motu Matu from the Canes.
Don't know him.
Honeck from the Highlanders, prop. Tom Denton, 28-year-old lock from Leinster, who doesn't really play. Andy Simons from Worcester, the centre. A couple of academy lads, or three academy lads, including Lewis Ludlow, who's meant to be a very good open side flanker.
Mm-hmm.
So no real names. The one semi name is Matt Scott, who's coming from Edinburgh, 30 Scottish caps to his name. Although I was talking to one of our friends who is an Edinburgh season ticket holder, and he said he's a very, very talented player. Can play as a ball playing 12, but a direct runner, can pass and kick. So a little bit like Billy 12 Trees. The problem is he's also prodigiously injury prone. So a little bit like Henry Trinder.
Right, okay. So unusual. It might actually work in Gloucester's favour, this, because every year it's the big signing. Every year it's, let's find the piece that we're missing in this.
The one piece.
Yeah.
John Afoa
or... Galatza or
James Hook,
whoever it is, and it's never the piece. So actually, maybe the consistency will do them well. That's me looking for silver lining here.
They've lost a few players, Nick Wood and Rob Cook, both retired. Rob Cook, I presume that's an injury retirement. They've also lost Billy Meeks, which is quite interesting.
Gone to Super Rugby, undisclosed team.
Western Force is what I read.
Okay.
But he wants to pursue a potential career for Australia.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Interesting move. I mean, he's 25-year-old outside centre. We'll see how far he gets. Western Force isn't the best team to propel yourself to Wallaby Gold, is it?
Okay, I'm going to make an argument for Gloucester. So I've always said that no big signings, but that should be okay because they don't need any more in the mix. It's, on paper, a fairly steady team.
Yeah,
it's got a sprinkling of internationals, and as I've said before on other podcasts, the way to build your team is through the academy. So bringing in three academy lads, that sounds promising.
Yeah,
that's where the good news ends. Really, I can't really make much more of an argument after that. And they're not building on a team that finished fourth either.
No. Putting my optimistic hat on, I'm going to say that three people, or possibly four people, returning from injury could have a big impact. And four players we hardly saw last year in Ben Morgan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Henry Trinder, but when do we ever see him?
Mm-hmm.
He seems to play one game and then pull his hamstring or injured his shoulder. He's like a more talented version of me.
less talented for less.
Much, much more.
Well, we haven't seen how good he is at quantity surveying yet, so come on, let's
yeah, and we're only talking
about
rugby
all have
here.
Talents, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, mate. And the two wingers, Charlie Sharples and, more importantly, Johnny May, who all four of those were injured for quite
what,
a long period.
The consistently world-class Johnny May?
I didn't say consistently world-class.
The occasionally world-class Johnny May.
Repeatedly world-class. So if you get all four of those firing, and you get Billy 12 Trees passing to men rather than the touchline.
That'd be something.
And not having Laidlaw, like losing Greg Laidlaw, club captain, kicking sticks, very talented scrum half, losing him for such long periods last year did affect them.
Here's a question for you. Do you think Laidlaw is good enough? I mean, okay, if you're going to start a game tomorrow, would you rather have Laidlaw playing, providing he's not kicking, or Robson, who went to Wasps?
As a nine, not kicking, they're both excellent, but I'd go Robson.
I'd go Robson.
I'd be tempted by Robson, but given his international experience, I'd probably go Laidlaw.
Okay, fair enough. I think they're going to really struggle. In fact, I'm going to go one further. I think they might even be contenders for the drop.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do. Well, who else is there? Newcastle? It's going to be...
Newcastle, Worcester...
Newcastle, Worcester, yeah. Bristol. I mean, those are the four that are going to...
I don't think
that's the bottom four.
I see Gloucester finishing above those three.
I do as well.
Yeah, so bottom four.
So ninth.
Yeah, bottom four, but not never real contention for the drop, in my mind.
I just don't know where... I can't see him picking up many wins.
We'll see. It will be very interesting.
God, Gloucester fans, wait. Are you angry about that?
I can't wait for the season, though.
Well, maybe it's going to change because we've given it the curse, probably, that we're saying it's not going to be their year. So it inevitably will be.
So, yeah, this is the year when they dethrone Saracens.
What do you reckon, Gloucester fans? Rugby podcast.
Yeah, let's cut that bit out of the pod and just save it when I go, this is the year that they dethrone Saracens, and we all laugh for when they win the Premiership final.
let's make a little note of that. Let's clip that bit, please. right, well, so next week, who are we talking? We're talking
final two.
Mm-hmm.
Sale and mid-table. Harlequins.
Sale Quins.
Sale, who will finish top seventh. Four. No, they'll challenge top four.
Do you reckon?
Sale?
Nah. I think Sale are looking good.
Ooh, I saw a Sale sign in. I was out in Duke's 92 on Thursday night for a couple of pints.
Which, if you're not from Manchester, if you come to Manchester in the summer and it's this hot, sunny day.
Perfect.
Perfect place on the locks. Couple of nice bars. Anyway, continue, Phil.
Yeah, not to be confused with Duke's pub in Castleford.
Oh God, that'd be a very different experience.
So Duke's 92, Castlefield on Thursday night, and there was a Sale player in there, big strapping boy.
Ooh, not Mooge. He'd be drinking his own big
strapping boy.
Big strapping boy.
Alonia Luca.
No, not quite that big.
Not that strapping.
Not quite that big. Was Rob Webber getting to know his new city?
It was. Rob Webber was out for a pint with his missus.
See, Webber, Aluka, that's two-thirds of an enormous, enormous front row.
Yeah, but Sale have had an enormous front row before and it didn't work very well.
Well,
yeah.
It did.
Tony Buckley and Avian Lewis Roberts.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Doesn't come a lot bigger than that.
It doesn't, does it?
Anyway, we'll get into Sale next week.
I'm looking forward to that because I'm very...
You're optimistic
very
about
optimistic
Sale,
about
aren't you?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You not Tim?
Not so much. No.
Okay.
Not so much. What else do we have on the agenda?
Well, scrum half 17.
Oh yes, of course.
Well, we're an hour 2 minutes. So yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
All right, cool. So the Olympic sevens. In fact, we've left it too long for this one. So and the Olympic sevens doesn't start until after next weekend. Yep. So next weekend's podcast will have Rob Vickerman talking sevens. And
yes,
his unique
yes.
insight. So that will be our Olympic Sevens preview. But to build up to it, we're also going through and asking for your help in coming up with a Sevens team of players who play in individual positions. We've gone through the entire pack. We land at scrum halves today. So if we were going to pick a Sevens team, but only from scrum halves, who would you go with?
You have to think
tactically about this because you need some big lads who are also... You need some people that could do the the work defensively and maybe offloading and turnovers.
Well, I'll go
and
for
line
the guy
out.
Who I think is the world's best scrum half, and people don't. People think I'm mental now. Mashino from Racing.
Racing.
He just has to play.
He's outstanding.
If I starting a team tomorrow,
he'd be a Le Petit General number 10.
Yeah, sort
of
he would be.
Wouldn't he, in your sevens team of nines.
Controlling things.
Just a wonderful player. Do you know who else? I mean, everyone raves about Aaron Smith, and as they should do, a hell of a player. But just for pure running, TJ Perenara really excites me.
That's a good shout.
TJ Perenara in any other country would probably be starting nine.
Except for France.
Except for maybe France with Machinode. If he was English, he would be the starting nine.
Yep.
Will Genya of about 5 years ago?
Will Genya of 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not now.
I'm not sure.
The 2011 vintage.
But Reese Webb as one of your gas men.
That's it. Like, so yeah. Reese Webb's a bigger lad as well. I think he's 6'2".
Yeah, he could go.
You've got Conor
Murray. Is he that big?
Yeah, he's a
really?
Big lad. Maybe 6'4".
I'm not sure he's that. I thought he's more like 5'8". But
no, he's definitely 6 something.
He's a squat, strong bundle of energy. So I'd want him as one of my... Yeah, I had him down as a hooker or a prop.
Yeah, and then, of course, Mike Phillips. I mean, I don't know why you want Mike Phillips necessarily, but I don't feel comfortable picking a team without him. and he's a little bit taller and maybe restarts and stuff. You know, you can find a need for Mike Phillips if he really wants to.
Yeah, maybe.
Can he play prop? Is he strong enough?
I don't know. I'd rather go for someone like Foto Ali as a prop.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, but restarts are important in sevens. You need those tall
guys.
Yeah,
that's true.
We'll have him in the 10.
Yeah, he's in the squad.
Just for banter.
Mind you, do you know when we pick a sevens team forwards, it's like, yeah, we need to pick this forward because he plays like a back. I'm now going the other way and saying we need to pick this back because he plays like a forward. So maybe we won't go with Mike Phillips.
Danny Kerr,
yeah.
Potentially as the scrum half.
Well, what about Robson? What about Simpson?
Well, Simpson has to be in there because he's...
Oh, yeah.
He's probably the fastest nine in the world.
Matawalu?
Maybe Matawalu's the fastest nine in the world. One of those two are the fastest nine in the world.
I don't think they're as fast as Webb.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they are.
Simpson. Do you remember that try he scored against Exeter last year?
Yeah, insane, isn't it, actually?
Yeah, Matawalu, Simpson, definitely.
Matawalu can be thrown on the wing.
Yes, because he actually does play wing as well. He has
to
Glasgow.
You got TJ Perenara in the backs somewhere, a generic back.
Yeah.
You've got Matawalu on one wing, Machinode at that sort of tenny position, if there is such a
pivot position.
Yeah, Reese Webb is the second pivot.
Yep, and then so that's your four in the back. So the actual hold on.
Sam Hidalgo Klein could be a front row scrum half.
Yeah,
he's a big boy. Have you seen his quads?
Is he that big?
Yeah.
I'll tell you
who
has got unbelievable quads for a scrum half. Chris Cook of Bath.
Yes, he
does. Yeah, he does.
But he's petulant.
He is very
the
petulant.
The most petulant rugby player in the Premiership. Hear me now, believe me later.
I'm just looking for a picture of Sam Hidalgo Klein here.
So it's just really the pack.
We've got Foto Ali.
Yep.
We haven't picked Aaron Smith.
Yeah, Aaron Smith is class.
Hooker. There you are.
Yeah. Look, Hidalgo Klein's a big boy.
He is a big boy.
Got excellent quads, a big old gun show going on there.
So we need like just one more,
but I'm not
one
saying
more prop.
Be in. Yeah.
So you want Mike Phillips? Do you want to push Mike Phillips as the prop?
Throw in Mike Phillips. You need one back to play like a forward.
Piri Weepu.
I'd still go Mike Phillips over Piri Weepu.
All right.
Perfect.
We don't need Mini Mike and Big Mike together. No.
Oh yeah, that's a good shout actually. Conor Murray. Conor Murray could go in there as a prop.
Mini Mike and Big Mike.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, fine, done. If you've got another nine that we have missed, so we haven't really mentioned any Super Rugby nines or anything.
Fafter Klerk's too much of a loose cannon for me.
Nick White a couple of years ago would have been... He's got good gas and good... Anyway, but no.
Yeah.
No.
Gregan 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Genya 2011 vintage. Yeah. When did they win it? Reds. Was it 2011?
It might have been 2011, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Diggers going to the Crusaders.
Sorry?
Digby Ioane's got signed, signed for the Crusaders.
Oh, he thought he said bigger.
Biggers.
Then.
No.
Digby!
Digby,
yeah. Ioane.
Ioane is going to the Crusaders, yeah.
And that is another interesting thing about the Todd Blackadder situation. So he inherited the most successful side in Super Rugby, but in 8 years never managed to win the title with them. And 8 years having Reid, McCaw, Carter, and the only time he got to the final, either once or twice, but included it, one of those was the loss to the Reds when they won it.
Right, at Rugby Podcast, if we missed the scrum half that should have been in our sevens team, and we fly halves next week.
Yeah.
Bring it. And the Olympics. What is the schedule? When is the first match?
No idea.
It's shortly after the opening ceremony. It's within the first few days.
Yes.
Let's get it up.
So let's...
Do we know the UK team? I have no idea who's playing in it.
We're not going to do it. The Great Britain team's not going to do anything.
Are they not?
We've got two
not.
Scottish lads.
No.
Mark Bennett is the one you've heard
good,
of.
Good, yeah.
Who's a decent player, but apparently wasn't great in the... He has played sevens previously. It might have been the Commonwealth Games.
They're not going to do anything. The women's GB women's might do some
yeah, stuff. Led by Emily Scarrett, who is class.
Yeah. But
calendar. There we go.
Schedule. Yeah.
So rugby sevens starts on
the 6th.
Saturday the 6th.
Oh, okay. So it starts on the 6th and the gold medal match is on the 11th. So it's 5-day intensive thing, men's and women's. So yeah, brill. The rowing's early doors as well. So in fact, some of the real ones I love to watch. Swimming's all really early. Swimming, rowing, and rugby is all really early.
Do you know what? I really struggle to get into the Olympics. Wow. I just like to hear about it on the news. Oh, medals, good. Then move on. We'll watch the sevens.
That's why I love it. See, this is times when I love my job, because I'm in a radio studio for 4 hours, and the other 20 hours of a day I can just sit and watch.
When do you sleep? Because yeah. I mean, I stack up 24 hours there.
Yeah, well,
in between songs. Yeah, no, exactly. Not in between. During songs.
Yeah, not in between songs.
That'd be a maverick approach to the radio, wouldn't it? Jeez, good work if you can get it. I still reckon it'd be better than Chris Moyles.
Agreed.
Oh my God, we haven't mentioned it, so we come to the end of a podcast. Thank you so much for hashtag LTB Gens last week.
Oh my God, yeah, we should only put this at the very end of the podcast.
We were overwhelmed by the support of the response of the LTBP community.
Where are we up to with this? Simply for the fact that they were meant to get something in return, and I'm not entirely sure what they're going to get.
I don't know what they're going to. I don't know what they're getting. I think, yeah, you're right. Actually, we should. Well, I know that we're. Well, I don't want to say too much in case it doesn't happen, but there are some stash companies that have got in touch with some new stuff.
That is true.
That we might be getting our hands on, so we could say that everyone will put the hashtags into a hat and pull out winners. Yeah. We'll do random spot prizes for people that use the end of pod hashtag.
So we make the hashtag different this week.
Yes, definitely not the same, please. we don't want your man Mr. Genge thinking we've got something against him.
So the response for hashtag LTB Genge, like the total number was unbelievable. Like,
do we know what the total number are? Because we were trending. Is that that's what the kids call it?
There were hundreds of people tweeted us that. I couldn't believe it. I knew it was gonna kick off or blow up on Monday morning. So the pod was only uploaded at like close to midnight on Sunday night, and I was up for the gym at 5:45 on the Monday morning, and there was already half a dozen Twitter notifications. And when I wake up at that time on a Monday morning, there's never any notifications. So I was like, what the heck? What's going on?
And that's people in the space of midnight to 5:45 had listened to an hour and a half
to the full pod. Yeah, in that window. Incredible. So the early adopters, fair play. Yeah. Fair play to you.
Thank you very much. So what we will do is we will, because you can search dead easily by the hashtag, we will collate and collect all the hashtags, and then when we have stuff that we can give away, or when we have too many shirts in the rugby dungeon and we want to just get rid of a couple, we can do some spot prizes and we can get in touch. So we need to work out a hashtag for this week.
Hashtag Gloucester's year.
Hashtag Gloucester's year.
Yeah, definitely.
no apostrophes. Gloucester's year.
Yeah, no apostrophe after the S. Just Gloucester. You can be grammatically incorrect. Gloucester's year. Hashtag Gloucester's year, and we will know that you've listened to the entire podcast and that you're...
We've got to be careful with this, because people are eventually just going to start skipping to the end of the podcast if there's anything, if anything worth their while at the end of it. Which so far, I'm glad to say that hasn't been anything worth your while. But that might change. You just have to stick with us.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're doing all right. Bearing in mind, we've actually got very little to talk about. We've managed to
There's loads
keep
to talk
going.
About. There's loads
well, no,
to
there
talk
is,
about.
There is. But we'll just wait until the...
I think the nice thing is about
the
there being
rugby,
no
Wait until this rugby championship and... Premiership and Pro 12.
I was saying, because there's no rugby, you actually get to talk about the bits about rugby which you're interested in, and you know, more natural conversation. Whereas in the season, you've got to hit all these different games and you've got to work out what's important to which people. And
well, we don't.
I like it more.
We don't have to do that. Well, maybe when the games start, we can be quicker about the games and just have a natter more.
Mm.
That's fine. Yeah. Live brainstorming on the podcast here. Right, hashtag. Gloucester's year at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and let's check out, boys. Phil, I know you've got a lunch with your in-laws to be.
No, just my side of the family.
Oh, right,
my
your
parents.
Side of the family.
Yeah,
nice. All right. Well, what are you doing, JB? With the rest
I've
of the
got
day?
A rugby dungeon to
oh,
do.
Oh, nice.
So I have got, I think Paul Morgan of Premier Rugby phoning in, or I might have Ian Bolshaw. I don't know. I'm going to speak to them both and I'll see who can record in about 3 seconds.
All right. What's your afternoon like, Tim?
I'm on my own today. It's blissful. The missus and the kids have gone to Hebden Bridge with my in-laws.
Yeah, very nice.
So very nice.
I'm heading back down to London for work tomorrow, so I've got nothing to do.
By the way, how are you wearing not only trousers? Me and Jay are in shorts and t-shirt.
Yeah, you're right.
You're in trousers and
a cagoule.
It's a very thin. I am rather hot.
The dungeon gets very, very warm.
It does.
It's very heated in here.
All this insulating foam and all this red hot banter flying around.
Right, on that note, we're out. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit, JB.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.